This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started in 1979. I'm Jim Taylor. We have a lot coming up on the program today. A bit later, we'll hear from new Rockridge softball coach Scott Durbin. Ty Taylor had a chance to visit with him earlier this week, of course, taking over for John Nelson. Then this morning earlier, caught up with Evan Massey, of course, the great girls high school basketball coach at Galesburg High School, just one of three coaches in the state of Illinois that has 1,000 wins or more. Of course, Gene Pingator from Westchester St. Joe's, and then the legendary Dorothy Gators from Chicago Marshall. And Coach Massey grew up in the small town of Savannah, Illinois. So we caught up with him today, and most of our conversation was about girls basketball in terms of getting more kids out to play. So that's kind of an enlightening conversation coming up a bit later in the program. All right, Ty Taylor, a recap of last night's Rockridge Sherrard showdown game. The thing that stood out for me the most is the number 31. I think that's how many points Sherrard scored last night. So the Rockets still getting tremendous defensive play, even with this new coach in town.
Yeah, that's hasn't changed at all. And I know there was some talk preseason. Oh, what's he, you know, what are they going to look like defensively without Coach Say and Coach Whiteman? Well, still about as good as you can look. They've allowed, it was, I think, 36 points per game coming in. They haven't allowed more than 50 this season. 31 to a really good Sherrard team last night. And really, the Tigers struggled to get anything going. It was a game that was tight, I would say, throughout the first 10 or 11 minutes of the game. It was 8-7 Rockridge after one. Sherrard led briefly in the second, 9-8. But then, I believe, a 19-5 run for Rockridge to close the first half, up 27-14 at halftime, and then from there, basically, just kind of business as usual for the Rockets. They allowed just 4 points in the third quarter and then kind of cruised in the fourth to win by 16. So, yeah, Rockridge, you know, a number one ranking in the state. They've looked the part so far this season in another really impressive showing. When they didn't really have it fully going offensively last night, I think part of that had to do with Sherrard. They do a nice job defensively pressuring the ball. I think that did bother Rockridge a little bit. Not in terms of turnovers, but I think they sped them up a little more than they wanted to. But, you know, we talk about it with Rockridge all the time. You know, when you allow 36 points per game, 31 last night, you're going to have a lot of success. And another win for the Rockets, they're 7-0.
So this is like a mamby-pamby media response. I'm surprised by the margin, but then I'm not surprised by the margin. Right. I don't know. I was expecting maybe a closer game, but then it is Rockridge. And, I mean, you really look at what they've done defensively the last several years. They just make it impossible to score, and they hang their hat on that. And, you know, you're not going to lose games if you're only giving up 36 right. points per game average.
Well, and through, you know, like I said, the first three quarters, Sherrard had, you know, 18 points in 24 minutes, and really they had 14 points in 22 minutes. They scored two baskets late in the third quarter. I mean, they didn't score in the third quarter until there was about a minute and a half left in the quarter. So the first 6.5 minutes of the second half, they were scoreless. And, you know, I agree that in the same way where I was a little surprised by the margin, but at the same time not. I think we sometimes can take for granted how good Rock Ridge is. And this year they are, I mean, you know, potentially the favorite to win the state championship, you know, like we said, a number one ranking in the state early on. And, you know, the two tests they've had so far, they've passed with Rock Falls, who's a really good team, beating them by four. And I think Sherrard's really good, too, and the Rockets controlled that game last night, basically about midway through the second quarter on. So, yeah, but, you know, speaking about just kind of the environment there is great. It was a really highly anticipated game. There was a massive crowd, a lot of noise, a lot of energy, and especially early on when it was kind of going back and forth in the first and early in the second, it sounded like a postseason game. It was a lot of fun last night over there. And, you know, these two teams play again in 6 weeks. And we talked Coach Johnson post game, and I really liked his, you know, some of the stuff he was saying was like, he said, we're at the point now where we need to win these games and we're not happy with just competing. And eventually we have to beat Rock Ridge. And if we can't do it, we're not going to, you know, go on any run in the postseason because they're going to be there. So, you know, I think they were very disappointed with their performance last night. And I do think, though, if Sherrard plays their best game, they can play with Rock Ridge. They got to be a lot more efficient offensively. But the Rockets right now in early December, I'm not saying this is going to be the way, you know, throughout the whole season, but right now they're head and shoulders above the pack in the area.
And you just, I mean, here it's simple for Sherrard in this matchup. They got to figure a way out how to score more than 30. You know, right. The last couple years, you know, it's Coach Johnson's second year. You got to get some crooked numbers on the board. And right. How you do that, I don't know what it is, but they got to get in the 50s. Well, even last night, I thought, to be quite honest, if you'd say 47, I thought, before the game, if you say we're going to allow 47, I think we have a chance to probably be hanging right. In that game. But a 16-point...
You look at last season in the regional championship, Sherrard only allowed Rock Ridge 41 points, but they only scored 25. So that's the thing, is I think defensively they can keep in the game, but offensively, you know, like you said, they've got to find a way. And it's not just them, it's everybody. No one can ever seem to get anything going offensively against Rock Ridge, so... I guess it's kind of back to the drawing board on that aspect. You know, like I said, in about a month and a half, they'll get another crack at him at home. So we'll see what the Tigers draw up then. And potentially, I really hope so, that we get a third meeting between these two teams in the postseason.
Well, and it's an interesting week then for Rock Ridge basketball, because they get Moline Tuesday at Wharton. And then they finish the week at the Great Western Shootout, where preseason-wise... They were ranked number one. Now the next rankings, I don't think, come out till, is it next week, or when do there's only one AP.
Well,
ranking.
So like Nesto does weekly, and then the first AP poll comes out next week.
Yeah, people are like, who's Nesto? Well, he's like,
he's
this,
the man, right? Is who he is.
So Illini Bluffs basically is the favorite in 1A. Now, that's a team that beat Rock Ridge last year at the Western Tournament. So the Rockets play Illini Bluffs, who have basically everybody back from last year's team. They'll play them next Saturday, and that's a 4:30 broadcast we'll have on the airway. So that'll be kind of a nice bookend to the week for Rock Ridge. And then Sherrard has Alleman Tuesday, right? And then I think an interesting matchup for the Tigers next Saturday at the Great Western Shootout playing Farmington, because I want to segue. You know, I like how Mercer County's recovered this week. A nice win. You know, we talk about the loss to Orion at the tournament at the 10-32, but then able to come back and get wins over Riverdale, who's a pretty decent squad. Nice win over Farmington. And then I was expecting kind of a closer game with Rova Williamsfield, but I know Coach Anderson stepped away, but they throttled them pretty good last night. So I think Mercer County on the right direction, and they get a nice test on Tuesday playing Macomb, who's a good ball club here at Mercer County High School. That's a key measuring stick, and then they'll get the Rockets. When do they have Rock Ridge? And then Rock Ridge on Friday night. So some interesting games coming up locally with high school.
And then the following Tuesday, Mercer County plays Sherrard, which I think, you know, probably the next three games Mercer County plays are the three best teams they'll see in the regular season. I know Macomb was missing one of their starters in that game they lost to Farmington, so I don't know what the status is with their roster. But I still think that's a program that is always pretty good. And then, you know, like you said, Mercer County's turned around. I think they're 5-3 now, and, you know, when they get past the new year, they're going to win a bunch of games, because I don't think the Lincoln Trail looks like it's very strong again this year. So I think, you know, by the end of the year, they could have somewhere between 20 and 25 wins likely. But, you know, we say the one thing that you're concerned about them is, for me, it's just hard to tell the progress you're making with that schedule, right? Because
you're talking about the second half of
the
season.
Yes, yeah. Because, like, you know, the other teams they'll see in the postseason, Sherrard, Rockridge, Monmouth, Roseville, Riverdale, not Farmington, but, you know, those schools, they play each other, and they're playing, you know, a much tougher schedule. And I think that was part of the issue last year for Mercer County, was they didn't really learn a whole lot in the second half of the season because they really weren't tested at all. So we'll see if they can maybe iron that out this year and make a deeper run in the postseason. But yeah, a fun week and a half coming up for them before the Christmas holiday with, like you said, Macomb, Rockridge, and Sherrard. So it should be I think we'll learn a lot about the Golden Eagles over the next week and a half.
All right. We're coming up against a break. We'll hear from Evan Massey. I'm going to go to Scales Mound today. Enrollment 67. They have the great 1A basketball program. They're celebrating my radio buddy Brian Roosh getting an IHSA Distinguished Media Service Award. So we're going to give you a report on Scales Mound when I get back. It's a 2.5-hour trip. So more coming up on the WRMJ Sports Line.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage. Auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage. And save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Give the gift of comfort and style this year with a pair of Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run. They have the largest selection of styles and colors in stock in the store's history to choose from. And they're all on sale for Christmas gift giving. Hey Dude takes pride in having the comfiest, cushiest, and lightest shoes you can find. Their selection features Hey Dudes you can wear while dressing formally or lounging around. Hey Dude shoes. Shoes, but way comfier. And all on sale now at 6140 Run. 185 West Main in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. What a milestone reached already this basketball season. Evan Massey, the longtime coach at Galesburg High School, 1,000 coaching victories. So you talk about select company with Gene Pingitore and the legendary Dorothy Gators. What did it feel like when you walked off the court, the horn sounds, and it's win number 1,000. How reflective are you?
Yeah, you know, different emotions with it. That, you know, it's exciting. There's a little bit of relief to get it over that was kind of taking a life of its own as far as attention and things. But it's also many good memories as far as you think of all the different players and the assistant coaches and administrators and stuff, that it's, you know, definitely a team effort to get there.
How vividly do you remember the first game you won?
I can remember. It actually was against Alexis. It was, you know, here at Galesburg, and, you know, a different thing. Then they just pulled out one set of bleachers, and it was, you know, pretty much some moms and dads, and that was about it. You know, back then there were maybe 50 or 60 people that would be in the stands for a girls game. So it's been exciting to see how girls basketball has grown through the years.
What year was that when you played Alexis?
78-79 season.
So basically about 4 years after Title IX. So you were there kind of at the onset of basically, you know, girls athletics becoming a thing in Illinois. Do you, when you look at kind of the growth of sports you mentioned, that's modern history for me. You know, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. Do you think kids kind of take it for granted a little bit today? Do you, you know, when you say, well, you know, maybe your grandma didn't get to play interscholastic athletics because we've only had this opportunity since 1974.
Yeah, I think without a doubt they do. Last year, our program won the 1,000th game, and we had a celebration with it, and got to interview one of the players. I do a blog and interviewed one of the players for that, and she opened my eyes a lot of, you know, what had gone through, of where, you know, things like they, you know, practiced for a month and no game the first year, no game was scheduled yet. And then they had a game scheduled the night before. They were told they had to find their own transportation to get to the game, you know, things like that, that just where, you know, I think the sense I had that they were excited to be able to have the opportunity, but at the same time, you know, they could sure see that there's a big difference between how they were being treated and the boys were being treated.
Well, and now you look to today. So we talk about, you know, growth of the sport of basketball, but then at least, you know, in the area today, a little bit concerned with where we're at in girls basketball. That's why I'm glad we have you on today, because I've asked a lot of coaches, you know, and our listening audience primarily, we're talking about, you know, in the four class system, class 2A schools, where, you know, programs are struggling to field, you know, more than 15 to 20 kids in a program, challenged to get a, you know, JV team together. Have you had some conversations in trying to pinpoint maybe what some of the issues are to maybe get some of these numbers back up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you try to read, you know, things that other people say, and you talk with other coaches, but it definitely, in terms of participation numbers, girls basketball is not, you know, as popular as it would have been 30 years ago in terms of numbers. And, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think, you know, there's one is that I think sadly with athletics right now, there's a lot of parents and that start out with their children, you know, in third and fourth, fifth grade, and view that the object of participation is that you're doing it to become a scholarship athlete. And so as a result, I think sometimes what happens is they start to, at a certain point where they think their kid's not going to be a star, they kind of discourage them. And it's, you don't have as many kids who want to be part of a team as you used to. They want to have a, you know, an active playing role, that they're not going to be satisfied just being on a team. So you've got, you know, that I think is some of a factor with it. But it's, you know, and I do think kind of the travel basketball, the, you know, the youth programs that we have now are sometimes maybe a blessing and a curse, that the young girls, obviously they, you know, they know if they're going to be successful in terms of wins and losses when they get to be high school age, they've got to have played some when they're younger. Well, the problem becomes, I think sometimes then there is a sense of feeling like, you know, of my kid isn't going to have an opportunity. And so as a result, by the time some kids are in fifth or sixth grade, it's like they move on to another sport. And so the issues, but it is, you know, it, you know, basketball is a lot of work. I think that's a factor too, that maybe sometimes they don't want to be in a sport that involves as much running and things like that. But hopefully, you know, there's still, maybe the numbers are down, but there's, you know, a lot of communities where it's something that's important and young women do want to participate in.
And I think also, you know, the elephant in the room, you talk about travel basketball, but travel volleyball and travel softball, and, you know, you are competing for time. Now we can say we're all working together, but there's only so much time in a day. There's only so much time in a week. There's only so much time in a season. How can the equation work better where basketball can benefit under that equation and not be hurt by that equation, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, you're asking some pretty heavy questions here.
You've only won 1,000 games, so that's why we have you on.
Yeah. I don't know. Like for us right now, our entire varsity squad, we have 14 on the varsity. Every single one of them played a fall sport this year. So it is something that can be done. You know, I think, you're absolutely right. I think, the top of the line softball players, volleyball players, basketball players, they're all being asked to do the same thing in the same sport, that it's, that they have their non-school coaches that they're going to go with as soon as their seasons are done. And things that I think what happens is that I think, many of the girls, they can do multiple sports, but I do think they, with every sport to be successful, they just have to understand what are the things that they need to be able to do in the off season to be able to be a successful athlete in that sport. And in general, a successful athlete. Like, one of the things we try to sell to our kids is that the importance of lifting year round, that if, for example, if we have a girl that plays volleyball, basketball, and runs track, if she cuts back on lifting in volleyball, okay, she's probably not going to build. And then she's in basketball, she needs to cut back. And then she's in track, she needs to cut back. And so he doesn't get the job. And so what we've tried to encourage our athletes in basketball is to understand that they, as a young person, as a high school athlete, they never are off-season lifting. In-season lifting, that they that they are lifting in-season, but they treat it as if they're in off-season. They've got to end up have the same aggressive approach. And they can do that successfully and get strong. And, I think like a basketball player, maybe they're doing other things, but they've got to find time that they've got to get, so many shots up in the off season. And I'm sure every, the other sports, there's certain things they can do in the off season too. So it's, I think the understanding needs to be that you can't, to be a successful three-sport athlete, you can't just completely leave that sport in the off season. And whether that's fair or unfair, I think we've been able to find athletes who get that and they compete in multiple sports.
It's interesting because I think about the era you coached in when you started your career, that in the 70s when you started, kids were hungry because they didn't get the opportunity, right? So they wanted to play because they were denied the opportunity to play interscholastic athletics. Girls were. So we don't have that anymore because there's multiple opportunities. So one of the things with basketball I think about, and this is like a heavy question, and maybe it's in terms of personal and professional career growth for you, are we at a point now where we have to figure out how do we make this sport more attractive and get kids to play? Is there a way to do that? And I'm talking about competing against sports like volleyball and softball that I think have in terms of the flash, they've been able to do it promotion-wise, I think, incredibly. Because that's all I see basically for 8 months on my social media feed is softball stuff and a lot of volleyball stuff. So do you think there's a way the sport can be promoted a little bit to get, and I thought this is what I said last year, right? So I said, Caitlin Clark's going to turn this thing around because everybody knows about her, but I don't know if she's had the immediate impact. And it was funny, and I don't want to take any program and point at them or whatever. And I'm just using this as an example. They had one of the Iowa basketball players I saw, I don't know if it was this fall or last spring, come to Rock Ridge, one of the elementary schools, made an appearance because they know one of the teachers. And then I see like Rock Ridge is one of the programs that has been struggling with numbers, and their coach is really working hard to try and reverse that. So I don't know, what is the way to promote the sport to get kids more excited about girls basketball? That's my long-winded, heavy question for Evan Massey, who won his 1,000th game this year. And you're like, great, I'm glad I came on the air to talk about it with this guy today. But I mean, is there, do you think there's something we can do? Because I'm sure you say when I started coaching in 1978, I'm not the same guy I was in 78 that I am in 2023.
Right. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. There's things you can do, whether the things you can do are successful or not successful, you know, that's another thing. But, you know, when I started out coaching, I also coached cross country. And then they had, at a certain point, I was boys cross country and they added girls and I was doing both. But I mean, that, you know, was a big part of your job as a cross country coach, to try and get kids, you know, more kids to go out and to get more kids to be involved in it. And, you know, cross country, you know, was a harder sell than basketball is trying to recruit kids to play the sport and things. But, you know, that I think that's part of, you know, a lot of coaching positions is trying to, you know, find things that make it attractive and make things to do. The first year that I coached basketball, that Galesburg had great girls tennis teams, and I think they like took fourth in state. And when they hired me, that was one of the things that the athletic director said to me. You know, he named three of the kids that were incoming. We were a three-year high school that were incoming sophomores, and just said, you know, I think if you're going to be successful, you've got to get some athletes like these kids to go out. And so even then, you know, it was something where you had to, you know, try to get kids to go out for it. But yeah, I think it's something where, you know, every school is probably a little bit different, but I think, you know, in every school, there's different factors that maybe are causing kids not to go out for the sport. But I think you're right. I think if, as a coach, if we just sit and basically say, well, we'll put a note in the school announcements and we'll get kids out, that it's going to happen. But a big part of it is what you were describing with the coach at the other school, having someone come in with the grade school, junior high people. That's where it's got to change, is you got to, whether it's programs that supplement travel programs, or if it's in-school programs or things like that, that I think it's the key is, can you find a way that you get grade school kids excited and interested in it? And that's, you know, I think that's where it's got to happen. That more than likely, if you're waiting clear until they're in high school, you're probably not going to get them.
And then this is one thing that I've talked with a couple of coaches here about. Now I have three daughters, and they've all played. And I have a daughter that's currently an eighth grader, decent class, good numbers. I think 14 or 15 kids out of eighth grade. You know, I hope they continue playing. And they went to the IESA state tournament as seventh graders, okay? Mm-hmm. So, but here's me. This is just like a 56-year-old guy complaining about the schedule. So I don't know what Galesburg does, if they participate. Do you participate in IESA at Galesburg or not?
This is our first year, yes.
Okay, so I believe IESA schedule hurts girls basketball. And why I say that is I don't like it from going from eighth grade into high school, because you're basically playing summer kind of basketball to fall basketball, right? So the year starts in girls basketball IESA in August, right? And if you go to the state tournament, you play to December. Now, not every school goes to the state tournament. But then how many sports occur between that when they get an opportunity to play basketball again? To me, it's like an eternity. And I just think that hurts the sport a little bit. And I think the girls' basketball is at a point right now where you need every potential kid to play as possible, especially at these small schools. But that I just think I'm not a big fan of the IESA schedule. And maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree because you guys just went to the IESA schedule. But what do you think about that? You're okay with that? Or what have you thought about that much?
Yeah, I have. And I think we went to the IESA simply because of scheduling. That, you know, for us, larger schools in Peoria and Quad Cities on a junior high level aren't excited about having to travel to Galesburg. So our schedule became more limited and we're playing more and more area schools, smaller schools around here. And they were all IESA. So to get games, that's kind of what we had to do with them. But yeah, you wonder about that, if it's a factor in terms of, you know, that it creates. But I don't know what I'd be interested, you know, the thought in terms of participation, that I'd be interested also of what numbers have happened in boys basketball in schools too, because I recognize last night happened to be up and was at a small school boys game and noted like one bench had team had 9 players on the frosts off, and the other had, it looked to me, had 10. And, you know, that's not huge numbers at all. And then when the varsity teams went to warm up, one had 8 go out, and then a couple kids from the sophomore team came out too. So, you know, I don't know if it's just a girls basketball problem or if basketball in general is not getting the same numbers and stuff, but would be curious to know that.
Well, and here's something I'd like you to do. Seriously, I think about this with your credibility and your resume. Is someday, especially with your blog, I'd like you to just go out, and you can do it with Western Big Six schools if you want to, our area schools, and just talk to the kids, the top athletes that you know in any sport other than basketball that don't play basketball, and just say, hey, I want to have a conversation. Just, you know, there is no wrong answer. Why don't you play basketball? And if the answer is simple, I don't like the sport, hey, I understand. If you don't like playing the game, you don't need to play the game. But I just like to see what the answer is to some of those athletes that you look at in other sports and say, I know they could help this team some way, somehow, in playing basketball. Now, if they don't enjoy playing the sport, they shouldn't play. I'm that, you know, if people don't enjoy playing the sport, then you don't play it. I'm good with that. But if there are other reasons, I'd like to know. And I just think that a guy like you, that would be a great project for you to do, maybe in retirement. So you don't have to answer that. You think about that. And my last question to you, during the pandemic, I remember I did a lot of interviews with a lot of different people. And the head coach of Camp Point Central, they won the 1A state title in football this year. He's a kid that grew up down the road here from Aledo, Brad Dixon. And he's been coaching like, I don't know how many years now, 15 or 16. And I said, career development, I said, what, this is like maybe 2020. I said, what would Brad Dixon of 2020 say to Brad Dixon of 2006 or 2007, whenever he started coaching, something like that? And he goes, well, Brad Dixon of 2020 would probably fire Brad Dixon of 2007, because good coaches understand it's about professional development and career development. I mean, that has to be key for a guy like you who's won 1,000 games and has been coaching since 1978 or whatever it was. I mean, has there been an evolution of Evan Massey, I guess, coaching?
Oh, absolutely. That, you know, I think his answer is spot on. As you were starting to phrase the question, and I assume that's where you're going, that's what I was going to say. And it comes in different forms, is that I think, you know, it all starts with, as a coach, you have to start with a level of humility, that you have to understand that you don't know it all and that there's things to learn. And for me, you know, when I first started and I was a boys assistant, Mike Owens would send myself or another assistant every Friday or Saturday night. One of us was on the road. So I'm going to games and you're watching, you know, Jerry Leggett and Quincy, their games, and an opportunity to learn that way. And then, you know, there's the formal ways as far as professional development of going to clinics and doing those things. And it's interesting, like this year at IBCA clinic, you see the coaches that are, you know, 45 and older are represented a lot more than the coaches in their 20s seem to end up feel the need to go to those. But, you know, there's other, I think a big deal is, I think if you're going to be successful in coaching, and I would guess in any profession, what you need to do is you've got to develop a professional network that you're involved with. And it's not anything formal, but informal. You know, like this week, I should say last week, that we were facing some teams that did some things and that I had concerns with. And so I've got, you know, three or four coaches that you give them a call and you just say, here's what we're going to be going against, and I'm concerned about X. And they come back with some ideas, and you get those people the same thing they call you, so that it's something you develop relationships with other coaches. And because of those relationships, I think it helps you grow. You know, you were earlier talking about that going up for another radio person, that a relationship you have with them. Well, I'm sure you're a better announcer, a better sportscaster, because you talk with somebody who is also a sportscaster. And that's the ways that you grow, I think.
Amen. And then all the great coaches I get to talk to, too. So this is heavy stuff. Coach Massey picks up the phone and says, great, I'm going to talk to this guy. But anyway, I always tell people a lot of the conversations I do, it's a starting point, right? So you and people who coach girls basketball, right? You know, at whatever level, you go out and have these conversations and you try to figure it out too. Because I want to see more kids play. Like I said, I got an example of my daughter's eighth grade class has 15 kids, 14 kids. I want them to be playing when they're seniors in high school. That's my hope, that they're still playing when they're seniors in high school. That's why I wanted to get you on, but recognize, I mean, this is awesome. Three people in this state have won 1,000 games or more. Pingator from Westchester, St. Joe, and coach, the legendary Coach Gators, Dorothy Gators from Marshall, and just right down the road here from Aledo, Evan Massey. So, Coach, congratulations. Keep up the good work, and thanks for coming on the air today and talking girls basketball and coaching with us. Greatly appreciated, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks. Enjoyed the conversation.
Again, Evan Massey with us. A 1,000-win coaching career. How about that? More coming up on WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
From Birkenstocks, cozy slippers to classic sandals, there's something for everyone at 6140 Run. Shop the irresistibly soft styles of Birkenstock and explore this season's most wanted gifts. New for this holiday season is the Boston line in leather and suede. It's the most popular Birkenstock sandal and would make a great Christmas gift for anyone in the family. See the new lineup of Birkenstock sandals available this holiday season at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Galesburg.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're talking high school softball today as we bring in new Rock Ridge Rocket head coach Scott Durbin. So, Coach, first off, just want to say congratulations on the new head coaching job. Can you just give us your initial reaction to being named the head softball coach at Rock Ridge?
Well, it's pretty exciting. I mean, kind of a no-pressure, kind of pressure situation with Coach Nelson leaving. But spent the last 2 years under him, and we're just ready to get going.
Well, can you walk us through what the application and then the interview process was like for you? Of course, I'm sure there was a lot of interest in the opening with the success that Rock Ridge has had in softball. So how did all that play out, you know, going from applying to the interview to then being, you know, offered the position as the head coach?
Yep. So I met with Coach Nelson, and we talked to him for a little bit and kind of discussed, you know, the process and everything. And then, I decided to apply. And then Coach Daphne Graves reached out to me for an interview. And then I met with her and Katie Hassan. We went over, you know, my expectations and kind of a practice plan, kind of what I have in mind for the program in the next 5-6 years. And we just went from there.
So what does your background with softball and then coaching softball look like as you take over this program?
Well, it's funny you bring softball up because before I met with Coach Nelson 2 years ago to take over the JV position, I never really coached softball. I've been, you know, assistant baseball coach at a couple high schools and no softball experience whatsoever. And I was kind of nervous taking that. Coach Nelson just basically said, it's baseball on steroids. It's so much faster. It's so much more entertaining. You'll love it. And so I just went there and gave it a shot and absolutely fell in love with it.
So explain to me some of the main, you know, differences or challenges you had initially going from coaching baseball to coaching softball. What were some of the biggest, I guess, maybe hurdles to get over as you've went from sport to sport?
I don't think it was necessarily like a big hurdle. It was just the game moves so much faster than baseball. Like baseball is, you know, pickoff moves, stuff like that. And softball, it is straight to the point. And as a coach, you have to be thinking about the next play and the next pitch. And that's the biggest difference.
So you've spent 2 seasons as an assistant with Rock Ridge, as you mentioned earlier. So how much will that help you think the transition when you look at taking over the program as the head coach? Now, of course, you have relationships with the kids already. You've been a part of this historic run the program has been on. That should help at least a little bit as you take over, I would think, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when they named me the head coach, some of the girls got excited, text me, stuff like that. And then we had a meeting, and I basically went in there with Coach Bogner and Coach Katie Garrett, and we discussed, hey, you know, Coach John's gone. We're still looking through that windshield. We're not looking in the past, whatever the past is, the past. And we're going to go in there with the same expectations for work and working out and the same goals. I meant, you know, Coach Nelson always preached the last seven games. And that's what we are working for.
Well, you mentioned Katie Garrett and then Keith Bogner, too, of course, assistants during this run with Coach Nelson. Can you talk a little bit about what your coaching staff looks like? Probably not fully finalized yet, but do you have some assistants, I guess, lined up yet as you get ready to take over Rock Ridge?
Yes, absolutely. So when I got named, you know, the head coach, my first 2 calls were to Coach Bogner and Coach Katie Garrett. We have a great relationship coaching together last year with Katie, but 2 years with Coach Bogner. And those are the two that I feel are going to be the most important to us coming into the season. And, you know, the JV coaches, I have a couple people lined up. We just can't, you know, really name them without getting them approved.
Well, you talk about the staff you have at this point, and I think something with Rock Ridge and softball that has stuck out, and even though Coach Nelson is gone now, there seems to be such stability all the time, and a lot of, he always talked about kind of how in tune the coaching staff is with each other. So you mentioned Coach Bogner and then Katie Garrett, too, as two coaches you have that you have experience coaching with. That's got to be a pretty nice bonus as you start over, too, with a very similar staff with the program when you take over here.
Yes, absolutely. Those two are going to be a tremendous help. And just the culture they bring and the positivity they bring to the program and the girls, it's just we're just really excited to get going. I mean, me and Coach Garrett and Coach Bogner, we text three or four times a week about the preseason stuff and what we're going to do and what we're looking at and where we need to improve. And, you know, we're going to be a young team, but we have some great athletes coming through.
Well, and you know, sometimes people can say you don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy, right? And Coach Nelson, I could say, was the guy. I think that's fair to say, right? Four state titles, six state trophies in nine seasons at Rock Ridge, three in a row. Of course, 102-1 over the past three seasons, set the longest winning streak in IHSA softball history too in that run. So I would say it's safe to say there's pretty high expectations taking over this program. How do you handle that? And does it feel like there's a lot of pressure taking over Rock Ridge softball?
I don't think there's a lot of pressure. I feel pretty comfortable coming in with, you know, being under him the last 2 years. He's taught me a lot. I mean, we've coached, you know, obviously Rock Ridge, and then I coached with him at the Hartman Havoc organization, and he's taught me so much in the last couple of years. I don't feel any pressure coming in. I know what I'm doing. The girls know the expectation and what we need to do to get back to state or have a winning program going. They know everything that's coming in, and it's going to change a little bit, obviously, because it's not Coach Nelson's program anymore, but it's the expectations, the goals, everything are the same. We're going in with the same attitude, the same basically practices, and everything are going to be a little bit different, but ultimately they're going to be the same. Everyone knows the expectation and the goals, and we are all on the same page with that.
So what do you think the outlook looks like for Rock Ridge softball moving forward? Obviously in 2024 coming up, you have Kendra Lewis back for another year. So how does, you know, this upcoming season and then beyond look like for this program as you start to take it over?
Yeah. So obviously having Kendra Lewis back is obviously huge. She's just the stud all around the game. But like I said before, we're going to be a young team. We do have four all conference girls coming back that are, you know, were in the starting lineup last year. Three juniors, I think one senior. This year there's a lot of expectations, and my goals and their goals are going to be the same. We're going to play every game one by one. We're not going to look forward or anything, and what we've accomplished in the past does not matter. So 2024, we're only looking forward to open gyms, getting practices in, and then when that first game comes, we're going to take one game at a time and then obviously improve every single practice and every single game.
All right, and for Coach Scott Durbin, what are the keys you think for Rock Ridge to continue this run they've been on in softball under you now, and what are some of kind of the main focuses you have taking this thing over?
Well, I think the main focus is we have to, you know, obviously Coach Nelson leaving and going to Augustana is a huge blow. I mean, he was the guy. My job is to get these girls ready. We're going to come in, work hard every single day, every open gym, every practice. We're trying to get, you know, Coach Bogner always says 1% better every single day. That is the plan. That is the goal. And then by the end of the season, by postseason, we should be ready to rock.
And that is Rock Ridge High School softball coach Scott Durbin joining us on WRMJ. Coach, thanks for taking some time to talk with us. Congratulations on the job again, and we'll see you in the spring.
No problem. Thank you.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Give the gift of comfort and style this year with a pair of Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run. They have the largest selection of styles and colors in stock in the store's history to choose from. And they're all on sale for Christmas gift giving. Hey Dude takes pride in having the comfiest, cushiest, and lightest shoes you can find. Their selection features Hey Dudes you can wear while dressing formally or lounging around. Hey Dude shoes. Shoes, but way comfier. And all on sale now at 6140 Run. 185 West Main in Galesburg.
This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio, and we celebrate Brian Roush this weekend. IHSA Distinguished Media Service Award winner, making a big deal about Brian Roush up at Scales Mound later today on Saturday, but a deserving honor because I forget how many years you've been doing high school sports on the radio, Brian, but this is an exciting day for you. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, and I'm certainly humbled. I'm proud, and I'll tell you what, a little bit, I'm going to say not aggravated, but just kind of what's all this hoopla about is what I'm asking. But in all seriousness, it's been 30 years. It's been a great pleasure to work with all the wonderful coaches and athletes and officials and school personnel, and looking forward to a fun day at Scales Mound, and couldn't have picked a better place to hook up with a place that loves their basketball and loves their school, and they have a special affinity for WCCI Radio. So, you know, we cover all these great schools. We had to just kind of throw a dart and hope for the date more than anything, and it ended up landing on Scales Mound. So looking forward to a fun day.
And I think the biggest thing in all of this, you know, is just getting nominated for the award, because that's how it works. And the IHSA decides, yeah, this guy is worthy of it. And, you know, the nomination process, when you learn that you're nominated, has to be a pretty awesome feeling too. And then, you know, getting the award today is going to be a pretty big deal too.
Yes, the fact that it came from a school, which Erie High School placed the nomination, it's very, very rewarding, and it's one of those situations where, yeah, just getting nominated, being recognized, you know, and you've been recognized with this award, you know what it's like, and you and I both kind of, you know, we share the thought of this is just our job. Do it the best you can every single day. And if you happen to impact some lives, that's great. And it's days like today where you find out about your reach and your impact.
Well, and I'm a little more partial to radio, though, in all of this. And I know it's a media award where TV and newspaper get it, but I like small market radio, and I like the medium of what is involved, especially when you're talking about small schools and even smaller schools and even smaller schools like Scales Mound, where you're doing this at today. So I think that's kind of a neat angle to this too, where there's, you know, I say just like a handful of kids in that high school, I think 60 some odd kids or whatever. I know they've got a lot of attention, but that's really, you know, what this in small market radio is all about, is promoting the small rural schools, whatever the programs are. And I know your station does more than just, you know, I know this is about athletics, but, you know, small market radio is engaged in the greater community. Now, high school sports is part of the greater community, but I think small market radio is a key centerpiece of promoting that. You feel that, right?
Oh, exactly. And it might be stories about the FFA or about a blood drive or about Illinois State Scholars or whatever it might be. We do graduation stories and different things like that. But yes, it's all about the local school, because we know in our listening area, and in your listening area, the schools are kind of the center point of the communities. And we realize when you highlight that, you make a lot of people happy.
And I know you mentioned already that, you know, this is kind of a shared experience. And, you know, you work at WCCI, and we were talking a little bit off the air that they're just excited, or maybe more more excited than you are, right?
Right, yes. All of our color commentators are coming. Everybody that I kind of work with, they're going to be there. And I won't name names, but I know a couple of them are a heck of a lot more excited than I am. And I'm kind of tempering my enthusiasm because, you know, I don't know what to expect. But I just think it's going to be a great day. And I know a couple of them are like, hey, this is going to be fantastic. So maybe it's the fact they get to see you, or maybe it's Matt Troha, or I'm not sure, but they're excited.
All right, so what sport do you like calling the most?
Oh, that's a tough one. Football's my favorite sport, but it's a little more difficult with the distance from the field, so basketball would probably be number one.
All right, well, we celebrate Brian Roush this weekend, an IHSA Distinguished Media Service Award winner for his many years of great work at WCCI Radio in Savannah. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
From Birkenstocks, cozy slippers to classic sandals, there's something for everyone at 6140 Run. Shop the irresistibly soft styles of Birkenstock and explore this season's most wanted gifts. New for this holiday season is the Boston line in leather and suede. It's the most popular Birkenstock sandal and would make a great Christmas gift for anyone in the family. See the new lineup of Birkenstock sandals available this holiday season at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, wrapping up Sportsline this morning on WRMJ. We have Illini basketball coming up momentarily. It's an 11 o'clock tip-off, pregame coverage at 10 for Illinois at Tennessee. Got exciting sports broadcast schedule next week on Monday night girls basketball. Sherrard hosts Riverdale, both teams 4-0 in the Track West. Battle for first place in the conference, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip. Tuesday, the Rock Ridge Rockets, number one in Class 2A, taking on the defending 4A state champion Moline Maroons. Moline got a big win last night over Rocky. That's a 6:30 tip-off with pregame coverage, or I should say a 7 o'clock tip with pregame coverage at 6:30 from Wharton Fieldhouse. And then Friday night, local rivalry with Mercer County at Rock Ridge and boys basketball, 6:30 pregame there with a 7 o'clock tip. And a doubleheader on Saturday from the Great Western Shootout a week from today. Sherrard plays Farmington, and then Rock Ridge takes on Illini Bluffs.
Those are some good games. That's a good girls matchup on Monday. Yeah. It's been weird to follow the Track West in girls basketball because Riverdale, they're kind of in the lead with Sherrard, and Riverdale, they hung on for a one-point victory over the Rock Ridge Rockets earlier this week.
Well, and I know last year Riverdale had a really down year, but they've really turned it around this season, and obviously, you know, Jay Hatch does such a great job over there. So that should be a fun matchup for the two teams kind of battling for first place. And then I'm excited Tuesday. I think the Rockets, I think they can give Moline a game at Wharton.
I do too. And then I'm most excited that Glenn Cook will wrap up the week on Sportsline next Saturday. And I think I'm going to get Bill Breeden on the holiday edition as well.
That'll be great.
He always loves doing that, Coach Cook, he says.
So that's a week early because Coach Cook can't be here the following week, correct?
Yep.
He's a prima donna. He was excited that last night I talked to him a little bit at the game.
I do like John Hoshite's post on his Facebook page about, you know, basically cool your jets about the greatest rivalry ever. Did you see John's comment on that?
Yeah, he said, not so fast, my friend. But I will say, as we wrap up, we have 10 seconds. Last night was an incredible atmosphere in Rockridge Girard. As Glenn Cook said, is as good as it gets in small school sports. Thanks for joining us on Sportsline on WRMJ.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports.